You are listening to audio from Riverside Church. If you would like to check out more resources, please visit riverside.church.
My name's Keith.
Hey, I'm Kristen.
Ah, nice. And this morning, we're going to tag team today's message. This morning, we're continuing on our sermon series we've been calling Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. And this morning, it's week 5, chapter 5 of the book. We're talking about sorrow and grief and how God uses grief and meets us in the middle of grief. To do this, we're going to look at what's probably the most agonizing cry in all of human history. As he was on the cross dying, Jesus cried out, "My God, my God! Why have you forsaken me?" Agonizing cry. At his darkest hour, he cried out to God, and it wasn't nice, tidy, cliche religion. It was gut-wrenching agony and questioning, "God, why have you forsaken me?" And he's suffering in pain. In pain and suffering and even agony and even questioning aren't unique to just Jesus. He cried out a phrase that had been around for over 1,000 years. He's actually quoting Psalm 22, which really is an invitation for each of us to also look at our own pain, our own agony, our own shortcomings and hurts. So this morning we're going to be reflecting on grief and loss and how God meets us in those places.
Hey everyone, I'm Kristen, if we haven't met, and I've gotten to be part of Riverside for 6 or 7 years now. I am a high school teacher, and so as we approach time together today, I'm going to approach it more like I approach my classroom than like you might expect in a typical sermon. Few of you have been in my class, so you already know what's coming. Since we're going to be here together, I have a request to make to this guy right here. I'm making the same request of you that I make of my students every day. Can you please take your cell phone out, put it on Do Not Disturb, and put it down somewhere? Now, if you got to be available, I get that. That's fine. But otherwise, let's be here. Okay? The scriptures will be on the screen, and they're on your handout. So if you need it for the word, don't worry. We got you covered. The best kinds of teaching, in my experience, are interactive. So I would love for us to shift our expectations of what today is going to feel like and look like from you just sitting and listening and receiving like we normally do to get ready to engage. You have a clipboard there. We're going to do some work together. Get ready to think. Get ready to feel and to engage with your heart and your mind. Like Andrew said, if you don't have a clipboard, grab one. I think we all have one now. If you're with us online, the handout was emailed to you this morning. Or you could just grab a blank piece of paper and something to write with, because everything that you need will show up on the screen here.
I really do think God's going to do some neat work today. I really think this is going to be a neat thing for us to interact with the Word together. So with that being said, we're doing something different. We have a lot of work to do this morning. Let's first pause. By the way, there are some cameras here this morning doing some documentary work. Just ignore them. I'll try to ignore them as well. But just stay present here, okay? With that being said, let's start off by acknowledging God's presence with us today and asking the Holy Spirit to open up our hearts for what it is he wants to do in us as a church family. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, have your way. As we interact with pain and grief and suffering in our own lives, in our corporate communal body, in this world, as we even are more open with you than probably we've been for some time, I pray that by your Spirit we would be guided. We'd be open, we'd be honest, and then the work that you do by your Spirit would occur. So Holy Spirit, come and have your way. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, Psalm 22, verse 1, it says this, my God, why have you forsaken me?" You've probably heard that before. Jesus cried that out on the cross. But it does go on. It's a very song of lament. It says this also, "Why are you so far from saving me? Why are you so far away from my cries of anguish?" So often we read scripture this way. Why are you so far away from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish. I don't think that's how this is written. God, I'm crying out! You seem so far. Where are you? It's getting tough. You seem so distant. What gives? That's the kind of tone of this song.
So with that as our backdrop, if you've been following along through the Emotionally Healthy Spirituality series, maybe it's brought up some hard things in your life. As we thought about feeling our feelings and not ignoring things, that may have stirred up some pain. And I'm going to be honest with you, we're going to go there today, and we're probably going to stir up some hard things today. So I hope that you're able to stay here with us. Because the reality is that as each of us goes through life, pain is unavoidable. Loss is unavoidable. Hardship is unavoidable. It's inevitable. We can't escape it. So if that's reality, then we have to learn how to deal with it in an emotionally healthy way. We all have ways that we handle things, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. But we're going to look at how do we deal with grief and loss well today. And towards the end, we're going to practice something called lament. Now, as I said, I'm a classroom teacher, so I'm inviting you all into my classroom. And at the start of every class, I try to check in with myself, with my students. How am I? How are you? What's going on right now? I used to be a cross-country coach, and I learned as part of coaching that something we can do that affects how our bodies are is just breathing. So I want to take a few just deep breaths together and check in with ourselves. So just go ahead and take a deep breath. Just go ahead, take another deep breath. And as you breathe in and you breathe out, I want you to check in with yourself. How are you feeling mentally? Go ahead and take another one. And this time I want you to feel your body. What do you feel in your body? Do you feel pain, tension, anxiety, tiredness? We hold things in our bodies, and we often don't stop to feel them. So continue to just breathe and feel. What are you feeling? Go ahead and take another deep breath, and I want you to note, how are you doing spiritually? What's going on between you and the Lord? Where are you at right now? How are you honestly doing? So we'll just take a few minutes. I want you to keep taking some deep breaths. And then on your handout there, the first question is, how are you doing? So take a minute. We'll just have some quiet here. Take a minute and just jot this down. How are you doing? Emotionally, spiritually, physically, what's going on? And if you have little ones with you today, there's coloring pages, or if they're a little bit older, you're all welcome to participate. So just a note, this sheet is for you. I'm not going to ask you to hand them in. It's not homework. It This is just for you. So feel free to be honest in them. So thank you for being here together with me. Now that we're here, we're in this space, I want to go a little deeper. So what griefs, what losses, what hardships may have come up in you as you stop to think about, how am I actually feeling? We've all just been experiencing a global pandemic that literally has turned a lot of our lives upside down and just changed so many things about how the world works. And that's been really hard. So what specific losses have you experienced because of COVID or other just things that are going on? Maybe you lost a job. Maybe you lost your sense that you're connected to people, that there are people there who are your people. Maybe you lost friends or family to COVID. Maybe you lost a sense that the world is generally safe and good. There's so many losses, so many hard things. I want you to think about and note, what are the ones that have affected your life? What's happening in your heart? Maybe the just deep political division we're experiencing in our country right now, maybe that's significantly impacted you. Maybe it's caused division in your family or with your friends. Maybe the year, 15 months that we spent in isolation had a significant impact on your mental health. Maybe had an impact on your family members. Maybe COVID didn't impact you that much. But all of us have loss. All of us have grief and pain. And we have limits. We have things that don't work out. Dreams that never happen. We all have things we have to grieve. So we're going to have a few more minutes to answer that second question there. What losses and hardships have you experienced, specifically due to COVID or just in general? I want you to take time again and be honest. Write those things down. And I know sometimes naming loss feels scary because if I name it, then it's real. But it's still real even if you don't name it. Naming it allows you to then take it to Jesus. So let's take a minute, 2 minutes, go ahead and name those losses. This is hard. I want to acknowledge that. We all have really hard things, a lot of loss in our lives, and tears are okay. I want us to be able to be here and be where we are. So thank you for stepping into this space and for being willing to feel a little bit. I know it's not necessarily the most comfortable thing, So as we think about how we're doing and the losses that we've experienced, I want to take just a little bit of time to note how we normally cope with pain and how we normally deal with loss. Because if we don't take note of that, then it can easily go unnoticed in our lives as we try to avoid pain. So a couple of examples that may help. COVID has caused a lot of grief, a lot of pain. Maybe we've tried to cope by turning to substances that literally turn our brain off and help us not feel anything. Maybe you've lost a job or some other hardship has happened. And instead of trying to deal with that anxiety that brings, you blame other people for it. Get angry at someone else. You just shift it and put it on someone else. Or maybe you just stuff it down and I can't feel that. It's too much. This person in my life is hurting, but I can't step in. So I'm just gonna shove it down and bottle it up and pretend like it's not there. There's so many ways that we try to cope and deal with pain because we all want to avoid it. It's hard. It's not easy to step into things that hurt. So I want to take time to note for each of you, what do you typically do when you encounter pain, when you encounter loss? If it helps, you can think about a specific loss or a specific moment of pain. And what did you do after that? Did you pick up your phone to play Two Dots or watch your favorite show? Or did you go to the fridge and get your favorite snack? Or did you go for a run? What are your coping mechanisms? What is it that you turn to when you're in pain? And again, you don't have to share this with anyone else. This is just for you, between you and the Lord. So be honest. We'll take another few minutes, and that third question there, how do you typically respond? How do you typically handle grief and pain and loss?
You're still working on that. You can keep going, but if not, turn the sheet over. We're going to get even more practical and more interactive at this point. It's really amazing how honest Psalm 22 is, friends. How honest it is with pain and doubt and suffering. For example, my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. This might sound odd. That's actually one of my favorite Bible verses on the silence of God. Because I have wrestled with the silence of God in my life at times. Am I the only one? Okay, so like that verse actually has been a very helpful thing for me because there's been so many times like, God, you seem so silent. I know you're Emmanuel, God with us. Your spirit dwells in me. I know all this theology, but you just seem silent. I am so thankful Psalm 22 acknowledges that. Or how about this line from it? My heart has turned to wax, God. It's melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a pot sheared, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth, and you lay me in the dust of death. How many of us have ever been that honest with God? Some of us have. Long-term anguish. Lots of waiting in the midst of deep pain. But here's the other thing about Psalm 22. There's movement in the psalm. Yes, there's these cries of lament and pain, but there's also a confession of truth, which we're going to do together as well. And there's also, but it's pointing to God's work. And there's parts of the psalm that makes requests to God. God, in light of all this pain, I have some things I want to ask you. So there's very real honesty with the pain and the hurt. But there's also movement. And it can't be rushed, but also we don't just stay there. There is movement with God. And this movement is something that we are going to journey through together now. We're going to actually interact with the scriptures together.
So, like Keith said, on the back of your worksheet, there's this five-section movement through a lament. He's honestly, right now, we're sitting with some pretty big pain. I know we all have deep hurts. And I want to help us learn another way to cope with loss and a healthy way to do that. There's a lot of parts of the Bible, a third of the Psalms, almost all of Jeremiah, the whole book of Lamentations, which are all what are called laments. Lament is another word for complaint. Where real people, just like us, who are suffering, poured out their feelings of loss and grief to God. That's a really healthy thing to do, and we're gonna practice that together. So I'm gonna walk through these five movements of lament with you, and just like in my classroom, we're all gonna go at different paces, and that's fine. If you want to just jump right in and start and kind of tune me out, that's totally fine. Do that. If you want to follow along, if you want to just listen, and maybe you're going to go home and write this lament later, you're going to work on it during the second worship set, whatever works well for you, I want you to do that. If you have little ones with you, if you want to help them walk through this lament now and you write your lament later, or vice versa, again, use your judgment. But on your handout, you can see the first movement of a lament is the introductory cry. And this is, we just open it up and we name our circumstances. We write it down. We say, what's going on? What is it that's causing us sorrow and misery and pain? David does this in Psalm 22 when he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And so we just name it. So if I'm writing a lament right now, my introductory cry might be, Jesus, I feel so alone right now. And I don't know where my people are. I can't see them. So take a few minutes and just start to write your lament here. Write your introductory cry. So as we move from our introductory cry to the second movement of our lament, I'm going to give you more time for this one. The lament proper is where we really just let God have it. We tell him exactly what's happening, and we're really honest. And that may feel a little weird to you. That may feel strange to be honest with God and to use all the words you really want to say. But he's God. He already knows. He doesn't want us to lie to him in our words or in our thoughts. So this part of the lament is the brutal honesty part. David says, "My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest." And there's more space on your worksheet for this part. Use all the words you need to. If I'm lamenting right now, I think I'm in the theme of feeling alone. My proper lament might be, "Jesus, I know I'm doing what you want me to do, and I'm in the space you need me to be in, but it's really hard, and I'm really tired, and I don't feel like I have enough support, and it sucks." So take a few more minutes and just be honest here. You may need more time for that part, so go ahead and keep writing. But in the third movement of a lament, we shift our focus from ourselves to the Lord. Yes, we are in a lot of pain, and we're bringing that pain to the Lord. But we're also, in the confession of truth, we remind ourselves of who God is, and we remind God of who he is. And so we're remembering and noting what he has promised and who he says he is. And it's also space to hold both the fact that God is good and that he loves us and that life is really hard and there's a lot of pain and a lot of suffering. David says in verses 9 and 10, he says, "Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth, I was cast on you, and from my mother's womb, you have been my God." He's shifting his focus back to who Jesus is. So if I'm continuing in my lament, I might say that, "Jesus, you said you're the father of the fatherless and the protector of widows. You promised to never leave or forsake me. You are Emmanuel, the one who is with us. And I don't feel it right now. But I believe that you are who you say you are." So take another few moments and shift your focus to who the Lord is and who he has promised to be, and remind yourself of that. Thank you. So as we move into the fourth movement of our lament, we've told God what's going on. We've reminded ourselves and we've reminded God of who he is. And now we make our petition. What is it that we want from God? What do we want him to do? This sometimes is the hardest part of lamenting because I don't always know what I want. I don't always know what's going to help. I don't know what I need. David asks for some specific things. He says, deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild ox. And a lot of the Psalms of Lament have some requests that aren't really kosher. Like David asks for God to kill his enemies and to do some violent things. And I want to give you freedom. I want you to feel freedom in this space to ask God for whatever you feel like you need. Because he gets to say yes or no. You get to ask. And if all you got is, can you just show up? That's fine. That's my most often. My lament is, Jesus, would you just show up? You bring me some people. You give me rest. So take time and ask the Lord for what you need. Again, I know you probably need more time for all of this, and that's good. As we look at our last movement of our lament, again, we're going to shift our focus back from ourselves to the Lord. And the last movement is called the vow of praise. So it's what happens now. Whether God answers our prayer, whether he gives us what we want or not, he still deserves our praise. He still is worthy of our honor and all the glory we can give him, whether he says yes or no, and whether he delivers us from the suffering or not. He's still God. And so in this last section, we shift our focus back to him, and we give him our praise, and David says, posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to people yet unborn, he has done it. David hasn't been rescued yet. Maybe he's not going to be rescued, but he still praises the Lord. So in my lament, this might be, Jesus' life is really hard right now, but I am going to continue to choose to follow you. I'm going to continue to make your love known in my life because you are God. You are worthy of my commitment and my praise. So shift your focus back to the Lord in these last few minutes.
You need to keep writing. Just keep going. Lament is a critical practice. It's also a biblical practice. I want to encourage you guys, do this. We also sent this worksheet out over email this morning. We should do more of this. This has been a brutal year. For me, it's been a very disorienting year. I'm so thankful God gives us space to process through these kind of grief and experiences. And I'm going to remind you, this is God's invitation to us. This is not pop psychology. This is Psalm 22. This is one-third of all the Psalms in the Bible are laments, people crying out to God. This is not pop psychology. This is biblical work. It's an invitation from God. So at this point, we're going to sing some more songs that express our hearts to God. I encourage you to keep your lament in front of you. Keep working on it if you need to. If you need another page, go grab another one and start again if you have another thing to lament. I would encourage you, keep interacting with Jesus during this time. And as we sing these songs, I want to encourage you, prepare your heart and then come to the table of communion. There's a table up front here and there's two tables in the back. We debated, do we give the handout like we've always been doing, hand out your seats, or do we want you guys to actually get up and respond physically? And this morning we said, you know what? Let's respond physically. Let's actually make a movement towards the table.
Thank you for listening to Riverside Church. For more resources, visit riverside.church.